Tracy Hopupper, heads the Federation of Māori Authorities. Tracy, thank you for joining us on the program today. Tēnā koe.
Morena ihoa.
Morena. I was just speaking with a small business owner, a couple over the last couple of days, to be honest, and doing it tough, certainly at level four. Rents still have to be paid. This is a guy called Donald Hollingsworth who runs a hair salon, Māori, out of Rotorua. But it was just an illustration of the very real hardships small business is facing. We'll talk too about the wider work of our Māori authorities and the neat stats that came through last week. But, you know, how can we Māori gauge the impact on Māori business that COVID is having from your perspective, Tracy?
One of the constructive criticisms and why we understand the nature of the decision making by the Prime Minister and by Dr. Bloomfield, but the stop-start nature of the lockdown meant that there wasn't enough certainty for business owners like Donald Hollingsworth and his business in Rotorua. So, you know, we're in lockdown for 3 days and then what's going to happen next? Whereas a longer period, even though perhaps a hoha for some, would have given our business owners time to plan, especially in the hospitality area and especially for people like Donald in his salon in Rotorua. So that's part of the issue. I think, you know, we're doing some work with Treasury. FOMA's doing some work with Treasury and also with Burl around what the impact's going to be for our SMEs. And I suppose this is the nature of the COVID world we're living in, Dale.
We are reminded you can access some pūtea to help out, but the goodwill that many businesses rely on can take a hit. And Donald was saying, and one of the issues that he has to confront is that people are losing jobs. And, you know, getting your hair cut normally, it might be one of the first things off the list, regularly, I mean. If you're, you know, suddenly without work, it's a very difficult and volatile time for small to medium business owners, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, too, there are some innovative ways, and acknowledging Donald's kōrero in the situation, absolutely right. The impact on employment for those who are either laid off or whose work is suspended, and I'm thinking about our forest crews and plantation owners, has been significant. Some of the innovative stuff that happened in the last lockdown, and I know is happening especially in Tāmaki Makaurau at the moment, is people are paying forward to the extent they can, and you know, their regular coffees or otherwise, they're paying forward into funds to businesses and cafes as a way of assisting and supporting. Now, for those of us who retain our jobs, that's great. For those of us who haven't, that's a difficulty. One of the things that I have been impressed with is how quickly the wage subsidies have been turned around and paid into people's accounts for SMEs. Dale, I was talking to a business owner here in Kirikiriroa. She runs a dog walking business, he Māori, yeah? And she applied on the Tuesday and the funds were in account on Wednesday. And those wage subsidies are certainly helping some of our SMEs. That doesn't take away the fact that the uncertainty in terms of jobs, businesses and cash flow is significant.
Thank you. Can we talk about the wider picture as well? Some neat stats came out from Stats New Zealand regarding our Māori authorities and our offshore sales across the last year or so, painting a pretty positive picture. But, of course, that's obviously, like everything else, interrupted by this COVID situation as well. What would you say of where we're at as far as the authorities across the board, Māori, and the way we've been performing in the international export market?
Yeah, it's been impressive. Last year was one of our best years, despite the COVID lockdown, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One, good market prices, and two, the free trade agreements and arrangements that New Zealand has with other markets, economies and countries have held up, Dale. So we've got prices and access to market locked in, and because Māori are significant landowners, land managers and land users, we've been able to ride off the back of some really strong primary sector, primary industry results. I think too, you know, the stats say that exports have risen about 2%, so we're around the 750 million, almost $1 billion mark in 2020, and I suspect that we're going to see similar kinds of results for the 21-22 year. And the fact is, the world needs to eat, and New Zealand is a strong export nation and economy, and Māori are a big part of that. I suppose one of the things that we're starting to see too is Māori really thinking hard, Dale, about how we use our land, and also for best first care for our land and our people, and also for best return. So we're starting to see conversion and rates into from farms to forest and plantation forests, and that's a good investment and land use decision. We're also starting to see our Māori sitting at tables with regards to export and trade and making really good decisions around the reductions of tariffs, which is how much we pay to do business in other markets, and also removing some of those barriers. And again, our Ministry for Foreign Affairs and Trade team are outstanding in those areas.
And speaking with Paul Morgan recently, we were talking about the potential. Now the British market has opened up since they've left the EU, and from a Māori business and primary business perspective too, what potential do you see here?
Yeah, so the EU generally has always been a stronger market for us, and the UK separate, as a separate economy and market, is no different. And one of the things we're really pushing hard for is in all new FTAs or reviewed free trade agreements, are making sure that there is an Indigenous trade chapter in all of these. And we're working hard on that to ensure that there is a preference for Māori exporters and support for Māori trade, which is important. So still looking at red meat, beef, looking at viticulture, so our wine, dairy exports as well going into those areas. I think what you're going to start seeing, Dale, in the next 3 to 5 years is more agri-tech innovation. We're going to start seeing more businesses coming through in trade in terms of gaining innovation and technology. And so that's going to be great for our Māori businesses, our Māori innovators and our exporters.
Kia ora, can you just share a little bit more kōrero about this Indigenous trade chapter that we want to have interwoven with our trade agreements? It's not something that I've heard too much about. What's the gist of it from your end, Tracy?
So, Dale, some time ago, the date escapes me. At the moment, New Zealand achieved and signed off an economic cooperation agreement with Taiwan. Within that agreement was a chapter. It's famously known as Chapter 19, which was the first of its kind in terms of advising, articulating and describing economic trade between Indigenous nations, so Māori and the Hill Nations within Taiwan, of which we share same whakapapa and DNA. And so that cooperation chapter covered off all of the things, so not only business and export and trade, but also education, cultural exchange, IP, all of those areas, Dale. So it was a comprehensive trade arrangement or chapter between Indigenous peoples in its own right, I suppose it could be described. Now that has seen some activity between Aotearoa and Taiwan and our peoples. We are getting our heads around what that looks like. And so that model there is something that we as Māori and Aotearoa have considered as a precursor to similar types of chapters within within New Zealand's free trade agreements or arrangements as they come up for review. So at the moment, we have the UK arrangement, and so we are considering that. What Māori is saying at the table alongside of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs and Trade is that we should start thinking about inserting these chapters in all of our trade arrangements or trade agreements.